stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
Hey up, Dave. Shandy Andy here. Loved your latest episode talking about BX and specifically old school essentials. It's something close to my heart, as you know. And it was great to hear you talk through about the things like the lightning spells. And I think it's a great thing, isn't it, about OSE that I don't think any two tables are ever going to play to the same rule set. One of the interesting things I found, because I run the two games mainly, OSE and RuneQuest. OSE, I've got a house rules, post that's up that people can read it. RuneQuest playing role playing in Glenaramfa. We don't have any house rules pretty much. I think we've got one, and that's to do with movement. So it really does emphasise the difference between something that was really what I'd call sort of old school with the BX and something that, although RuneQuest does have its roots in there, the rules cover most eventualities. And I enjoyed about you discovering about the read magic required for scrolls, because that actually does, in a way, fundamentally change how magic works in BX, even compared with sort of AD&D. The magic users are relying on scrolls quite heavily. Most magic users will take read magic as their first spell, which effectively means that they haven't got an offensive spell to level 2. And so it is reliant on them either being provided with scrolls by their patron or discovering them. So just simple little rule changes like that. I agree with you, it's fascinating to see how it changes the way a game evolves and is played. Anyway, just really want to say I hadn't called in for a while. Really enjoy your podcasts. Keep it up, please, Dave. A bit more regularly, though. Cheers, mate.
Hey there, Dave. It's John here. I'm just listening to your old school summer episode. I'm about a third of the way through now. And I've got to say, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I'm also reading old school essentials at the moment, and I'm finding it very interesting and enlightening, sort of going back and seeing how that fits together, as well as realizing that what I took to be my sort of D&D knowledge, in inverted commas, is actually a mishmash of the various different OSR clones and games that I've read. So it's actually nice to go back to a sort of faithful version of the original rules, albeit formatted slightly better for modern sensibilities, and read through that, see how it fits together in the sort of ecology of the game. So couldn't agree more, dude. Just wanted to drop you a quick message and let you know I'm enjoying the episode. I'm going to get back to listening to it. Take care.
Hey Dave, Spencer here. Hope you're well. I know you've probably got enough messages to be getting on with, but I have found myself thinking about the fact that you've been running OSE. You've run it a few times now, as far as I'm aware. I assume you're running it rules as written, although knowing you, I've got no reason to assume that. But I was thinking back to when you first spoke about the Black Hack, saying that it kind of did all the things that you would probably do yourself if you were running old school D&D. And now that you're more familiar with a true BX clone, I wondered if you'd kind of reappraised that, if you still felt that way about BX, about the Black Hack in light of what you know now.
Hey everybody, a few calls there about old school essentials. I get round to thanking everybody at the end of the show. I do want to say thanks to everyone for the call-ins, and do keep them coming in. I have got a couple of big episodes waiting to be edited, a lot more on player expertise, and quite a lot from Roy going through the back catalogue that I am going to put together. But sorry about those messages that haven't quite made it into episodes yet, but I do want to say do keep the call-ins coming in, because it's because I still keep getting those call-ins that I feel that there are still people listening, and I'm still going to put stuff out. So do keep them coming in. I'm really gratified to receive those call-ins. Yeah, and a bit more on old school essentials. So Spencer, yeah, I've run it two or three times at cons now, old school essentials, but I haven't done any extended play of it, any campaigns, and that's what I'm gearing up to. I thought I might get it ready over the summer, but it looks like autumn term is going to be the term of Old School Essentials. Putting my thoughts together, enjoying pouring through the tome. I'm going to play it pretty much as written, although what I'm going to talk about today is one little variant that I'm going to introduce, but I'm going to introduce it where there is already a bit of space. So Old School Essentials presents you with a standard damage option and then a variant, but unlike the other variants, the damage by weapon variant seems to be, it's there in a table and it seems to be pretty well is it favoured? No, I don't think I would go that far as to say it's favoured, but it's pretty strongly presented. So you've got your two different BX damage options. You can either have any weapon a player character picks up is going to do D6 damage. I played in a game at Burrito Con on the weekend when that was run. Didn't bother me at all. I quite enjoyed it. I liked the fact that as players we were instructed just bring a D20 and a D6. I like that. That's all you need. That was one of the things I made a virtue of in my Swords and Wizardry Continual Light game, was that everything was going to be done on D20 and D6. We weren't going to do anything else on those other dice. Those other dice are around in Old School Essentials. They're there in tables and spell effects and things like that. So you're still going to have those other dice. So the other option, which as I say is presented, it's not just sort of in a sidebar, you might want to do it this way. It's sort of pervasive in the same way that ascending and descending armor class are presented parallel. So the other option is damage by weapon. So your dagger does a D4, your short swords do D6, swords do D8, and a couple of your slow two-handed weapons do D10. So your slow weapons are those which, if you're using those, you automatically lose initiative and you act after everybody else as if you had lost initiative. So I've been toying about, do I do D6 for everything? Do I do damage by weapon? And one of the things, if you do damage by weapon, of course, there are weapon restrictions tied to the classes, but they're a little bit loose. You know, the dwarf one just says small weapons, but it's left to you to decide what is a small weapon. The magic user can only use daggers. So if you're doing damage by weapon, we'll only ever do D4 damage. But one of the things you get if you get damage by weapon is that as soon as the players get enough cash for their characters, they will just buy the weapon that does the highest damage that is available to their characters. It's very rare, I mean, until you start picking up magic weapons that might have other reasons to tote them, it's very rare that a player's going to privilege, you know, the narrative advantage of a cool but less damaging weapon over the maximum damage they can do for their character. So it occurred to me, and then I pitched this on the Necrotic Gnome server, and it seems like other people are doing this as well, that what you've got there, because the rules need to accommodate both of those options, either D6 for everything or damage by weapon, that you've got another alternative, and you can use one of my favourites for other games, which is damage by class. So I think that's the way my Old School Essentials game was going to go. So I was initially thinking, you know, the wizard's always tied to a dagger anyway, so if you're using damage by weapon, they're stuck with D4. So I was thinking maybe D4 damage for the magic user, D8 for the fighter, D6 for everyone else. And then someone suggested on the server actually that if you look at the hit dice for the classes, you could be doing damage by hit dice. So that would also introduce it's the fighter and the dwarf that get a D8 hit dice. And actually that works for me. So I think that's the way I'm going to go. I'm going to say your weapon damage is by hit dice. So D4 for the magic user, D8 for the fighter and the dwarf, D6 for everyone else. The advantage of that being, you know, it keeps it nice and simple. I'm not big on the bookkeeping. I mean, you can't really do Old School Essentials without the bookkeeping for your treasure and your XP. But I do like the advantage that a character can tote whatever seems flavourful for their concept, and it will still do the maximum damage available to their class. So, you know, the fighter can chuck their weapon over to the magic user, but because of the fighter's strength and skill, it does a D8. And because the magic user is much less strong and skilled, it will only do D4 for them. So I think that's the way I'm going to go. And the nice thing is, because Old School Essentials is tooled up to use either of the variants, introducing that won't make any difference to any table or effect, as it's already treated in the book. So I feel, you know, Spencer says, inevitably I'm going to homebrew some of it. Yes, but I feel that is sufficiently within the spirit of what's laid out. The one additional thing is that I really like the slow weapon rule. So I want to have a slow weapon option for everybody. So I'm gonna have that. If you pick up a big two-handed weapon or a polearm, that'll be a slow weapon. You'll act as if you had failed your initiative and you'll go last, and that'll do +1 dice size. So a magic user can pick up a slow weapon if they want. That's going to do D6 instead of D4. If a fighter picks up the same weapon, that's going to do D10 instead of D8. Everybody else is still going to give them an advantage. It's going to do D8 instead of D6. So there I've got damage by class, but with an option, just using something that's already there, the slow weapon rules. I'm probably going to share over the coming couple of weeks. Make no promises because it's been about 2 weeks since my last episode, but I'll probably share a bit more as I'm gearing up for Old School Essentials. I've got quite excited now, winding down my other games, bringing them to a nice stopping point or a nice conclusion. And I'm gonna, yeah, the Dark Sun one will run a little bit, but building up to focusing on Old School Essentials in the coming term. Of course, the obligatory quick little addendum. Firstly, I misspoke around the dwarf weapon restrictions. They can, of course, use small or normal-sized weapons. The other one was just to say that this option that I'm using leaves open still the possibility of you know, narratively appropriate weapon damage. This is something that's stressed in 13th Age, which is a game that uses the damage by class to really good effect, I think. But there's a little discussion in there that, you know, there's sometimes you might have your favourite weapon for your character, but there's just sometimes when only a certain weapon's going to do, you know, some situations where only a dagger is going to be, is going to be useful. And I quite like that. And that actually came up in our Dark Sun game recently. I think it was Spencer, I think it was Free Thrall's character, who is the strapping half-giant warrior, toting all the big two-handed weapons, but they were mucking about in Undertier and had encountered the Thrax, the vampire-like Dark Sun creature. There's one of them knocks about in Undertier. It's got sucker fingers and it latches onto you. Kind of, I described it. It had embraced his character and latched onto his face with these sucker fingers and was busy sucking out his life force. And Freethrall said, "Well, I'm going to get my knife out." Now, the game, as far as the game mechanics go, you get your big two-handed weapon out and you hit it. But he was going to, no, he said, "I'm going to get my knife out because I'm being embraced by him. So it seems like that would be easier to try and cut the fingers off than getting out my big two-handed weapon." I thought, yeah, absolutely. That is the knife on this occasion is the tool for the job. And I think you've still got that possibility. If you do damage by class, you can still say, well, in normal situations you'd do this die of damage, but you're using an inappropriate weapon for this particular job. That's already built into Old School Essentials, of course. You know, you've got a sword against certain undead, you really want a blunt weapon. I think, or there are some creatures that have damage linked to a particular kind of weapon. So you've still got all of that already there. So I thought I might be inclined to reward a character in some way who chose the ideal tool for the job, or penalise them if they insisted on using their favourite weapon and when it didn't seem appropriate. I might do that in adjusting the die size, or perhaps just in a penalty to hit. But I just wanted to add that as a possibility. All right, so thank my callers then. I had Shandy Andy of Unguarded Treasure. I had John Allen Large of Red Dice Diaries. and Spencer or Free Thrall of Keep Off the Borderlands. Thanks very much. Keep the call-ins coming in. Spencer, maybe I didn't really answer your question. Well, I haven't played Old School Essentials that much, two or three con games. Not enough to make those kinds of comparisons, but I have talked about this before. I mean, the Black Hack, as a neat little bit of design, takes some beating for me. I really like customising it. I really like coming up with creatures. I could do everything on the fly. I think that takes some beating as my go-to fantasy rule set. But there is just something definitive about Old School Essentials. And I want to spend some time exploring that definitive experience. And once I've done that for a bit, I'll feel more qualified to make that comparison. Thanks for the call. Keep well, everyone. I'll catch you again soon.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at d_percentile.